Welcome to Rowing with Restless Women. Julie Noonan, your host here. Today, I'm so excited to introduce you to Leslie Martin. Leslie is a holistic therapist, coach, and a guide. She is a life coach, a spiritual guide who helps high-achieving women heal from past adversity and reclaim their power. Blending neuroscience, embodied practices, and intuitive wisdom, which I love because that's the name of my company, Intuitive Wisdom Coaching. She facilitates deep, lasting transformation across mind, body, heart, and soul. So she also has her company's name is Blue Lotus Soul Coach. And that's probably what we're going to start off with for right now. So, Leslie, tell me about your company and introduce yourself a little bit more.
Hi, Julie. Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. I'm very happy to be here. And yes, my coaching practice, Blue Lotus, I founded kind of in the midst of the pandemic. So my background is as a holistic psychotherapist, and many mental health professionals during that time, we were swamped. We were kind of like the next level first responders in a way, right? And I just really, things I was going through in my own life had kind of been thinking I wanted to impact people in a different way. And then the circumstances I really saw, okay, people are needing some support in these different capacities beyond the traditional therapy modalities. And as often happens, a confluence of personal and professional factors kind of led me to decide that it was really time to branch out in a new direction, try to use my voice and my gifts in a different way and really impact people, not only in a different way, but also on a larger scale than you can really do one-on-one in a therapy setting. And so that's how I got my company started. And yeah, it's been quite a journey so far.
So tell me about how you started. What was your thought process, or what were the confluent energies that came together during COVID in particular to help you to make that decision?
Okay, well, so I think the direct link between providing mental health services and the COVID was I started to experience some burnout because I was working more than I probably had been in a decade. I didn't have the counseling center set up at all to be working remotely. I had other clinicians working for, so it was like a lot of figuring out the back end and try to get all that set up, plus serve my clients, plus process payments and like everything that's required to run a business, right? So that was a lot. And I started thinking, I'm not sure. We at that point didn't know how long that was going to last. And I'm not early in my career, but I certainly have like a lot of years ahead of me. So I was like, I don't know if I can continue this way for this much longer. So that was like one thing, was just experiencing a bit of burnout. But other than that, I had reached a point where I also wanted to explore more for myself. I got to a point in my own therapy journey where it was like, okay, I'm pretty good. I've created stability. I've worked through a lot of the traumatic things from my past. I know I have a good life, and I know I'm not done. So then where do I go? From like, it's not something you necessarily call a therapist for. There's not really a problem per se, right? But I knew that I wanted to keep growing and expanding and looked for some support in those other ways to help with my own personal and like spiritual growth and development. And so I had been thinking about and toying with the idea of coaching and all of those factors combined, I just decided, okay, I'm going to start my own journey and explore this a little bit more. I started listening to podcasts. I ended up deciding to hire a coach. And then I decided, okay, I'm going to go ahead and get certified in this modality, which is not required to go into coaching, but just for my own integrity, I want to walk the path that I'm directing my clients down first before I do that with them. So I decided to do that as well.
Yeah, that actually was the reason why I decided to get certified too, is because I knew I had tons of years of coaching, but it wasn't formal coaching. It was a side service that I provided for people who were managing big change projects and kind of got lost in all of the emotion that comes along with big changes like that. So I went ahead and got certified as well. And I think it really helped me understand the difference between coaching and consulting and therapy. And there's a big difference between the three. So you mentioned wanting a deeper understanding. Could you describe what you were looking for or what you thought you were looking for when you were looking for that deeper dive?
So I have always been someone who's been deeply spiritual, deeply intuitive, and had that sense of being connected to something greater and beyond myself. But in my earlier life and earlier career, I learned to kind of put a lid on that and kind of walk the walk, talk, try to blend in and appear quote unquote normal. I always made a little bit of space for that, but I didn't necessarily openly allow that to direct my life or be very open about sharing about that in my process. But during this time, it was like just kind of all bets were off during that period of time, right? And as a society. And so, a lot of us also had some additional time to be introspective, and I started to hear my inner voice be like, you are meant for more, and there's more available to you, like what you think is possible or how you've defined yourself or, the parameters of your life, there's more available. And that really, I knew that, but I also was very scared about what that would mean because I knew it was going to be a demarcation from where I was at. And so I wrestled with that for really a number of months until I started not being able to sleep well. It was like persistently calling me from this place deep inside. And I just got to a point where I was like, all right, this isn't going away. I can't silence this. I can't figure out a way to just be content with the life that I was content with the life I had, but it felt like something was missing. And so I decided, well, I'm just as an entrepreneur, I mean, this running your own business as well. We are not risk averse. So I just decided, well, what do I have to lose? Like, I'm gonna go for it. I remember one of my early coaches talking about her own journey and saying that the process of just coaching itself required her to become a different person. And at the time, I remember thinking, well, I've been a therapist for like 15, 20 years. Like, I got all my stuff figured out. That I'm not worried about that. Well, little did I know, right? Because that is essentially what happened. I really looked at from a deeper or a different perspective, many aspects of my life, and have made a lot of pretty significant changes that I couldn't have seen coming at the beginning of the journey. And maybe that's for the best, because if I had seen them coming, I don't know if I would have taken that initial step. But, being a few years down the road now, I certainly can see how that was not only in service of myself and being able to have a broader experience and for myself, but also how that's really to the benefit of those that I serve.
Exactly. And who do you find are the folks that come to you the most often? Who is your core audience?
Yeah, so I work a lot with entrepreneurs and professionals, business owners, I think because I am one. So people, will find me that way. And very often, I think that those of us that are on an entrepreneurial journey have had some degree of adversity and are, I mean, I think that's true of most people, but, some trauma, some tough circumstances, things that we had to overcome more so than perhaps your average person. And what I find those that I work really well with are people who know that they have a really good life, they've worked hard to create that for themselves, and they maybe have a lot of the markers of the external success, the high achievements, the certifications, the financial stability, like whatever those markers are that externally is how we've been taught to measure success. And yet they feel like something is either missing or that they are not enjoying their life as much as they want to be or as much as they could be. They feel a little disconnected, that kind of drive. And so I help them to really look at, okay, what's left over? Where are those limiting beliefs or those old narratives? Where are you maybe stopping yourself short just because you're not allowing yourself to even consider what might be possible for you? And help them be able to consider that. And I know that it is possible to do that because it was the experience that I had myself.
Tell me a little about what a session might look like for someone who is in that space of disconnection, as you said.
Yeah. Well, so that can happen for a lot of different reasons, and it can look kind of different depending on the person. But how I generally approach helping my clients to reconnect, I work very holistically. So I do some education and a little bit of neuroscience and help them understand maybe what is going on in their brain or their nervous system that's contributing to that. Use a lot of mindfulness in my, or what in the West we call as mindfulness, because my undergraduate training actually is from a Buddhist school. So I learned from Tibetan
Cool.
monks the practice of presence and being mindful. So I incorporate that a lot along with some other embodied practices. So whether that is being out in nature, or being able to be with yourself, I think again, our society doesn't allow for that as much, like we are in the busy, busy, go, go, go very often. And particularly for women, so I work with both men and women, but particularly for women, our like true nature is to be much more open and in a state of flow and fluid, and our society doesn't honor that as much. And so we have to learn how to come back to ourselves. And so very often that those are some of the discussions and the practices in my sessions with my clients to help reconnect. Yeah.
I think one of the things that's really important, and I find this too in my coaching practice, is that we have learned, at least in corporate America, that emotions are somehow bad,
Yeah.
that we have to stuff them, that we can't, even in appropriate ways, sometimes share what we're feeling about something without being ridiculed. And that is something that I work on quite a bit. With myself, as well as the clients that I have. What are you finding any kind of themes as you're working with your clients in this real-time space?
In terms of like suppression or avoidance of emotions, oh, 100%. And I see it with both, right? I think we have a lot of, I completely agree with you in terms of the message that we have, like separation of work and personal life, and don't bring that stuff into the office. And right, if woman's being moody, or I'm using air quotes for anyone that can't see me, or emotional, right? How that is perceived as opposed to how like men get those messages of buck up and just like you're not allowed to have emotions and you're weak, right? And so I work with any of my clients on that. It's essentially a kind of unlearning of the poor conditioning that we all received through no fault of our own, but just how we are, our culture teaches us, and then a relearning of, right, emotions serve a purpose. They are a message for you from your body. They are just feelings. They are not good or bad. They are just like a vibration or a frequency in your body. And when you learn to be with it, the actual process of, feeling your way through an emotion is, like 90 seconds to 2 minutes. It's very quick. It doesn't continue on for, ever and ever. And to help people really feel empowered on like how to manage their experience, that they have some degree of control over their experience. So I think we have been disempowered in so many ways. And so that is just, it's a big core of the work that I do.
Huge, huge in the culture, and it's. I think COVID actually did us a favor in ripping off the Band-Aid, basically. Everybody was feeling the same, if not sim and similar emotions, and there were a lot of really good. There was a lot of really good that came out of that,
Yes.
as far as a recognition of mental health, a recognition of mindfulness. A recognition that we're not just an accountant. We're an accountant, but we're also a person who has feelings, who has a family, who has, all of this other stuff that is actually more important than your job.
Yes, and that we're all human beings first, no matter where we live or what we practice or what we look like or any of those sorts of things, what our family structures are.
100%. So, what you mentioned in your bio, some tools that you use to help people with their intuition and recalibrating their nervous system. Can you describe some of those for us?
Sure. So in terms of the like nervous system recalibrations, I will use some embodied practices. So whether that's maybe like deep breathing or other, I use like sensory grounding techniques to help people bring their awareness to their senses and what their experience is in the moment. Because unless we're in a real chaotic situation, usually if we can become present, our nervous systems will calm down. So those are like very kind of quick ones that I might do that, you can take with you wherever you are, use wherever you are to be able to do that, that generally are pretty effective. On the intuitive end of things, for example, I read in the Akashic Records. So for my clients that are wanting more of a spiritual focus or that kind of thing, we might set up a session where we're going to be doing that, in which case I'm really helping them tune into not just their bodies and themselves, but also how they experience themselves in those other levels. We are physical, mental, emotional, relational, and spiritual beings, and we live life on all of those levels simultaneously. We just don't always pay attention to that. And so I might help people in that way to be able to connect to their higher self or deeper self or true self, however they might think about that, and ground in. And then there is something to be said for being able to be in stillness and just notice what comes up, because we're getting info, or we have the opportunity to get information from those aspects of ourself in any moment if we are able to stop, slow down enough, listen, and just kind of be with ourselves in that way.
And I understand that you're doing more group work and retreats, or you're planning a retreat. Can you tell me more?
I absolutely. So, yes, I am planning a retreat in Morocco this fall. And the name of the retreat is the Sahara Soul Awakening Retreat experience. It's going to be a week long, and it is designed specifically for service-based professionals and business owners, or those really heart-centered people. You don't necessarily have to run a business or be working, but that are facing almost like beyond burnout that we see. Burnout's such a corporate term, right? And I'm not at all downplaying it. It is a legit thing. And sometimes we experience a level beyond that. That's almost like depletion at a soul level, where you just feel like, I need a full body and soul reset. Like body, mind, heart, soul, I need a reset. I'm feeling disconnected. Nothing that I'm trying to do in my current life is working to help get me out of that. And so this experience is designed to help you be able to do that, to create that reset so that you can plug back into your purpose, your passion, why you got into that in the first place, what drives you, your why you do what you do, and give you some tools to be able to take that with you so that when you come back home, you know how to implement that, not just in, your workplace or your business, but also in your day-to-day life. And I came up with that plan, I guess I will say, like I actually had a vision about being able to bring a group of people there after I myself had a very transformational experience in the Sahara Desert, where that is what happened to me, just being in the vast openness of that space, the stillness, it strips away all the excess. There's no distractions. You can't kind of fill that void. You can't necessarily avoid or just keep yourself busy and not focusing on those things. You are really left with yourself and what's there, and it allows a deeper wisdom to emerge. And so when I got back a couple years ago, I implemented quite a lot of changes in my life as a result of that. And then this retreat is kind of the culmination of my integration.
And when is the retreat, if you don't mind my asking?
Yeah, so it's this fall. We begin on September 27th, and we
Oh,
will
that's my
wrap.
birthday.
Oh, it is? Well, happy birthday. Mine
Oh,
is September 30th, so we will be there
wow. Yeah.
over my birthday. So yes, we've got two Septembers. But yeah, starts on the September 27th, and then we're gonna wrap up on October 3rd, and we will travel a bit through the country, the mountains. We'll experience a little bit on the coast and through the mountains, and then we'll spend 3 days in the Sahara at one of their luxury camps that they have there, and then we'll get everybody back to Casablanca on the coast for their return flight home.
Oh, that sounds beautiful. I can just imagine sitting, in the middle of the vast desert, as you were saying, and just literally being able to just be with yourself and your higher power.
Yeah, that, and you're with a small group of people. So you are, I mean, you're not
Yeah.
alone alone because that can be a
Yeah.
little bit daunting in such a wide open space. And you have like myself and my co-leader, you have a lot of support there. But yeah, it is super powerful. Life there is on a different order than what we experience in Western society. It's like slower pace. Simpler in that there's not as much like entrapments to grab your attention or right, like you just slow down and learn how to be. So we're gonna do that, but we're also gonna do some fun stuff. We've local cooking classes and some camel rides and a desert picnic, and if there's water in the oasis, we will do a group meditation there. So yeah, we've got some good fun stuff to look forward to also.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. So I usually have three questions that I ask at the end of the
Okay.
session. But before I get into that, I want you to share with us anything else that you feel like that we need to ponder or think about as we are building our lives and becoming more in tune spiritually with the world around us.
Yeah, it's such a good question because it's so important. What I would say about that I would like to leave your audience with is that if you have that sense of you're feeling called, or you hear that little voice, or you get nudges, I mean, people experience their intuition in different ways, is I really encourage you to honor that in whatever way that means for you. Doesn't necessarily mean you got to drop everything and do exactly what is occurring to you in that moment, but to make some space for it, to allow for that to be just as possible to be correct guidance or wisdom as the more traditional and habituated patterns that you would normally listen to. As I think the more that we are willing to honor those things and tune in, the better that we strengthen that skill set within ourselves, and you can start to see that your life will shape a little bit differently when you're coming from that place or making space for that place. So,
Absolutely. This has been wonderful. Let me ask my three questions.
okay.
Here we go. So, if you could close your eyes.
Okay, I will do that.
All right. When I want you to come back and describe for me what you see in your mind when you hear the words wise woman.
I see a very large, she's very like tall with a large energetic presence, a very embodied, grounded, powerful, strong, courageous woman. She's got flowing robes and flowing hair and just a beautiful light coming through her eyes. And she knows herself, her purpose, her power, and is willing to share that with the world.
Oh, that's beautiful. And second to the last question,
Okay.
where do you like to roam, Leslie?
Oh, I love this. So I feel my most comfortable when I am in wide open space. So I had not, prior to that trip to the Sahara, had the experience of doing that in a desert landscape, but that was very powerful for me. But I also have experienced that and love to roam along just a wide open expanse of beach with water and sky and not much else. I have spent a lot of time climbing mountains and so wandering amongst the trees and the rocks and the wilderness to get to the top where it is you on, the peak of a mountain with wide open sky and just an expanse. That's where I feel most free.
That's beautiful. All right, the last question.
Okay.
What makes you restless in a good way?
Yeah, these are good questions. So for me, it's very much so a sense of like drive to fulfill my purpose. Like I am at the core someone who came here incarnated to be of service, to help empower and uplift others and help them evolve in whatever that way that means for them. And so when I feel like that internal sense of I need to do that somehow more or in a different way, that makes me restless in a good way to then explore, okay, so what does that look like? And I wouldn't have ever started my coaching practice or put together and designed this retreat if I hadn't had that restlessness and then honored that feeling.
I think many people, well, when I first started this podcast, it's been a while. When I asked that question initially, I would get people being very uncomfortable because they think of restlessness as a bad thing.
Yeah.
And I never even considered that. You know, I think restlessness is a good thing. It's something that drives you. It's something that it keeps you from stagnating.
Exactly. I think of it in terms of like you're coming up against your own edge a little bit,
Yeah,
right? And
you're
I'm
needing to
always
push
telling my
through.
clients, you can't like there's no change in the comfort zone. Like the comfort
That's
zone is
right.
the comfort zone. It is the status quo. There's no opportunity for change. You're not challenged. There isn't that restless energy that's needed to disrupt and break free so that you can expand. And, we don't
Right.
blow people out of the water, but you need a little bit of it so that you can find your edge. That's where the growth is and the gold.
I love that. So finding your edge. There we go.
Yeah.
Maybe that should be a new a retreat. You
Okay.
know, finding
Well,
your
for our next one, or maybe.
There you go. There you
Yeah.
go. It has been such a pleasure, Leslie. Thank you for taking the
Likewise.
time to share with us the wisdom that you have and the journey that you've been through. And I really, really, really appreciate your coming on the show.
Oh, it's been such an honor for me to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. I'll cut the end of this off, don't worry.
Okay, I'm not worried. Just